Does Panthea or Pergamus now sit by the tomb of Verus? Does Curius or Diotimus sit by the tomb of Hadrian? That would be ridiculous. Well, suppose they did sit there. Would the dead be conscious of it? And if the dead were conscious, would they be pleased? And if they were pleased, would that make them immortal? Was it not in the order of destiny that these persons too should first become old women and old men and then die? What then would those do after these were dead? And it all ends as a foul-smelling bag of blood and corruption. If you have sharp eyesight, look and judge wisely, says the philosopher. In the constitution of the rational animal, I see no virtue which is opposed to justice, but I see a virtue which is opposed to love of pleasure, and that is temperance. If you take away your opinion about that which appears to give you pain, you yourself stand in perfect security. Who is this self? The reason. But I am not reason. Be it so. Let then the reason itself not trouble itself, but if any other part of you suffers, let it have its own opinion about itself. Hindrance to the perceptions of sense is an evil to the animal nature. Hindrance to the desires and emotions is equally an evil to the animal nature. In the same way, there are things that are equally an impediment and an evil to the constitution of plants. So then that which is a hindrance to the intelligence is an evil to the intelligent nature. Apply all these things, then, to yourself. Does pain or sensuous pleasure affect you? The senses will look to that. Has any obstacle opposed you in your efforts towards an object? If you are making this effort absolutely, unconditionally, without any proper reservations, certainly this obstacle is an evil to you considered as a rational animal. But if you apply the proper considerations, you have not yet been injured nor even impeded. No other man can impede the things which are proper to the understanding, for neither fire, nor iron, nor tyrant, nor abuse touches it in any way. When it has been made a sphere, it continues a sphere. It is not fit that I should give myself pain, for I have never intentionally given pain even to another. Different things delight different people. But it is my delight to keep my reason, the ruling faculty, sound, without turning away either from any man or from any of the things which happen to men, but looking at and receiving all with welcome eyes and using everything according to its value. See that you secure this present time to yourself, for those who rather pursue posthumous fame do consider that the men of after time will be exactly such as these whom they cannot bear now, and both are mortal. And what is it in any way to you if these men of after time utter this or that sound, or have this or that opinion about you? Take me and cast me where you will, for there I shall keep my divine part tranquil, that is content, if it can feel and act conformably to its proper constitution. Is this change of place sufficient reason why my soul should be unhappy, and worse than it was, depressed, expanded, shrinking, affrighted? And what will you find which is sufficient reason for this? Nothing can happen to any man which is not a human accident, nor to an ox which is not according to the nature of an ox, nor to a vine which is not according to the nature of a vine, nor to a stone which is not proper to a stone. If then there happens to each thing both what is usual and natural, why should you complain? For the common nature brings nothing which may not be borne by you. If you are pained by any external thing, it is not this thing that disturbs you, but your own judgment about it. And it is in your power to wipe out this judgment now. But if anything in your own disposition gives you pain, who hinders you from correcting your opinion? And even if you are pained because you are not doing some particular thing which seems to you to be right, why do you not rather act than complain? But some insuperable obstacle is in the way. Do not be grieved, then, for the cause of its not being done depends not on you. But it is not worthwhile to live if this cannot be done. Take your departure, then, from life contentedly, just as he dies who is in full activity, and be well pleased, too, with all which are obstacles. Remember that the ruling faculty of your mind is invincible. When self-collected, it is satisfied with itself. If it does nothing which it does not choose to do, even if it resist from mere obstinacy. How strong shall it be then when it forms a judgment about anything after deliberation and aided by reason? Therefore the mind which is free from passions is a citadel, for man has nothing more secure to which he can fly for refuge, and for the future be invincible. He then who has not seen this is an ignorant man, but he who has seen it and does not fly to this refuge is unhappy.